We have a guest preacher with us. His name is David Hartage. He is the executive director of the Baptist General Convention of Texas. He's been in that position since 2012. The BGCT, or the Baptist General Convention of Texas, for those of you who don't know, is just a missions organization that we partner with that helps churches and missions all throughout the state of Texas. And so we're glad to have him here with us today. He's been a pastor, interim pastor, associational missions director. His bachelor's is from Baylor University, and so I had to throw that in there. Definitely his master's of divinity from Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth and his doctorate from Midwestern Seminary in Kansas City. But the most important thing, he's married to Kathleen and has two children and then leading all up to two grandchildren. And so it's great to have him. I've met him just a week ago, really, I guess it was. And what I appreciate about David is I already can tell he sometimes having the title of executive director, you may not be a humble person, but I've already gathered he's a humble person that's seeking the Lord, and he's a peacemaker. And that's why I'm excited that of him being in that position, that I've already seen that he is a peacemaker. And so let's give David a welcome and thank him for preaching it with us this morning.
Well, good morning to you, and thank you, Hillcrest Church, for the opportunity to be with you this morning. Very honored and very delighted to share the morning with you. And I want to thank my friend, your pastor, Tom, for the kind and gracious invitation. It really is a delight to share the morning with you. I have a unique position as the executive director of the Baptist General Convention of Texas in that I preach in a different church somewhere in Texas every Sunday. And so every Sunday's different from the Sunday before. And every Sunday's fascinating. You know, everybody thinks that church happens the way they do it. And that's not so. It's different every week. I'll be in one of our new church starts in Forney, Texas next Sunday. It's an African-American church. And it'll be very different than today. And then next Sunday night, I'm at a cowboy church down in Bryan. So I'll have to hurry, but I'll make it. But every Sunday's different. But today, I am really, truly honored to be with you. And I want to first say thank you to you as a church for your involvement with and your investment with us as a convention. We couldn't do the ministry and mission work that we do were it not for people like you and churches like this. So just want to say thank you. You are helping us make a difference in Texas. I hope you see a little glimpse of that as we share some thoughts with you this morning. But thank you very much. Now, I am a native Texan. I didn't grow up in this part of the state. I grew up out in far west Texas, a little town called La Mesa. There's not really any reason you'd need to know where that is. Unless you're driving between Lubbock and Midland and you need to go to the restroom, then La Mesa would be a place you would want to know about it. So, but that's home for me. I'm a native Texan. But I tell people, you know, the Texas into which I was born is certainly not the Texas I live in today. And if you were to ask me, well, what's different? I think my answer would be just about everything. Just about everything is different from when I first experienced life in Texas. The population of our state is just absolutely booming. You know, we've been adding people to the population of Texas for the past about 10 years, somewhere between 350 and 500,000 people a year. So the population continues to grow. As a matter of fact, today, Texas, we're approaching 29 million people who call Texas home. And you see this just right here where you live, but it won't be very long between Austin and San Antonio. It's just really one large metropolitan area. Houston, Texas, is the most culturally and diverse city in the entire United States, which is another thing that's changing about our state. The cultural and ethnic diversity of Texas, it's so different than what it was even just a few short years ago. People ask, well, how's all that growth happening? How's all that diversity taking place? Here's some quick statistics for you. You know, every day in Texas, about 500 people die. And yet every day in Texas, about 1,000 people are born. So just naturally, there are 500 new Texans every single day. Every day, about 400 people migrate into Texas from one of the other 49 states, then leave Texas to move to one of the other 49 states. That's about 400 people a day. Now, I don't know why people would leave here and go somewhere else, but they do. But every day, about 400 more people come from one of the other 49 states into Texas. And then every single day, people move here from somewhere in the world. Every single day, people leave here to go to somewhere else in the world. But on average, about 300 more people immigrate into Texas every day than leave here to go to somewhere else in the world. So every day, somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 new people call Texas home. So our population is growing, we're booming, we're becoming very cultural and ethnically diverse. But when you think of diversity, the religious climate in Texas is like it's never been before. Today, there are more than 100 different religions that are being practiced in our state. I would like to give you just a little small glimpse, a little window of what that looks like. So a while back, I was invited to be on a religious panel. Now, this panel took place on the campus of one of the major universities in Texas, not the one here, but another major university in Texas. And so we were right in the center of the campus. It was a big ballroom, and about 500 college students came for all kinds of reasons. Some came because of, I expect they were just curious about these different religions that were going to be presented. Some came because they were really seeking answers to questions they had about life and religion. And then some came, I would imagine, because they really were desperate. But for whatever reason, about 500 students. But just a glimpse of the religious diversity in Texas, here's who was on the panel. So on the far end of the table, there was a Buddhist monk. And then next to him, there was a Muslim imam. And then next to him, there was an atheist. And see, I never knew why he was on the religious panel, but there he was. So next to him was a Jewish rabbi. Next to him was a Mormon bishop. And then next to him was yours truly. So when they called and asked if I would come, they said this. They said, now, remember, you'll be representing all of Christianity. I said, no, thank you. So we each had to answer the same four questions that they sent to us in advance. But after we each answered our four questions, they opened up the floor to the students to ask us any question they wanted to ask. Now, I've been in the ministry a long time, so over my experience, I've learned that the two words that scare me the most are the words open mic. But there was an open mic. The students could ask any of us any question. I did not plant this particular student in the audience. Had I thought in advance, I might have. But a student went to a microphone, and I don't remember exactly how he worded the question, but it was something like, Mr. Christian, could you real quickly just summarize for us what you believe? That really had not been one of the questions that had been given us in advance. So, you know, I didn't shout thank you, but I sure meant it. And I had two answers to give, and I wanted to give them both. And so I gave them back to back without any pause in between, because I didn't want there to be the time, any time for another question, because I wanted to make sure they knew exactly who I was and what I believed. And so I said, well, and I was sweet. What you need to know first is that I believe that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God and the only way to salvation. And I said, without much pause, if you want to go a little deeper than that, just know this. I believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. I believe he lived a perfect life. I believe he died on the cross at Calvary. I believe he was buried in a tomb. I believe he was raised again by the power of God. I believe he's ascended into the heavens and is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And I believe he's coming again one of these days to receive all of us unto himself for all eternity who believe all that about him. Now, that's what I believe. So when it was over, you know, the best news of the night was the students could line up and talk to us about anything, and the longest line lined up to talk to me about Jesus. And I stayed there as long as they wanted to talk about Jesus, as you would expect. So I left that event, and I was driving back home, and I'm just, you know, you go through something like that. It lasted 4 hours. And so, you know, after I went to the restroom, so after I just driving back home, and I was thinking about all, just kind of contemplating all the things that had been said and all the things that had been shared. And I thought, you know, I am so different than everything else I heard tonight. And then I thought, I'm glad. It's good to be different from all of those other things. And so, you know, just I was kind of thinking through and praying through what about that whole event. And it just dawned on me that, you know, there are really three very simple, very elementary truths that separate me as a believer in and a follower of Jesus Christ from all of those religions and all the others. And what I want to do this morning is just kind of put that out there in front of you to give you a little information that you can that's so simple that you can carry with you as you go through the day, as you go through a week, as you go around your family, your friends, your coworkers, your classmates. Just have that tucked away in your heart and in your mind. And when God opens the door, just share what we talk about this morning, because it's so simple on the one hand, and yet I think on another hand it's really deeply profound. So with that in mind, if you have your Bible, just open it to a verse that you know. But I'm going to read it for us. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. So if you have your Bible, follow along. But let me just remind you, kind of refresh your memory about a staple of our faith. So in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life." So what is it that makes us different? What is it that separates you and me and those of us who follow Jesus from all the other religions that are out there being offered to the people of Texas and beyond? Well, three quick, simple words. One is, we offer people life. And I mean that in two ways. We offer people eternal life, just like is said here in John 3:16. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but will have everlasting life. You know, that question really is the oldest question man has ever asked. Job asked it in Job 14:14. If a man dies, will he live again? That question's been around a long time. People still ask that question, and our answer is yes. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will live again. We are offering eternal life, but that's not all. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, when he's comparing himself to the enemy, he says, "The enemy's come to seek and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it abundant, have it to the full." We are offering life abundant. Here and now, life eternal, then and there. We offer people life. Let me tell you about an event that you make happen. You may not even know about it, but after this morning, you'll have at least an idea. But you have to go back in time just a little bit to March of this past year, 4 months ago or so, to spring break. And so you go back in time to spring break and you change location from Austin, Texas to South Padre Island, Texas. So everybody kind of has an idea about South Padre Island and spring break. So if you can imagine, on Monday of spring break, I'm standing on the beach at South Padre Island, Texas, for spring break. Let that soak in for a minute. So I know what you're thinking. I don't look like a typical spring breaker, and I certainly was not. But I'm there with about 30 or 40,000 college students who've come from all over Texas, all over the United States, all around the world for spring break. Now, that's just one part of the story. I'm going to tell you the rest of the story, the rest of the story that you, Hillcrest Church, make happen. So because of you and churches like this, we as a convention, we have Baptist student ministries happening on about 140 college and university campuses all across Texas. And in September of every year, some of those students begin to set themselves apart to train for a ministry that happens at South Padre Island during spring break that we call Beach Reach. And so after 5 or 6 months of training to go be missionaries at Beach Reach, this past March, you helped us send 800 student missionaries to Beach Reach with the gospel to engage 30 to 40,000 college students who've come for spring break. So we sent 80 church vans. And what happens is, and I think early on, I'm riding in the back of one of these vans. I thought that would be a good idea to kind of see what's happening in the vans. And then I realized that's not the best idea I'd ever had. And so I got out of the van. But what happens is these vans go up and down South Padre Island all day and all night long. I'm riding in the back of one of these vans about the time I usually get up. And so what we do, we give free rides. So the way it works is you're riding along in a van and you pull up to a curb, a sidewalk or whatever, wherever you see a group of students, 3, 5, 6 students, open the side door of the van and you simply ask a question. Would you all like a free ride? Well, not always, but most of the time they say yes. And so what happens is they close the door and drive off before they realize they've hopped onto a van full of student missionaries. So these student missionaries are engaging in conversations with these other college students about life and praying for opportunities to engage in the gospel conversation. And that happens all night long. Back at the Island Baptist Church, there are about 100, 150 of the college students who are praying for the conversations that are happening inside these vans. And because of technology, the student missionaries in the vans are tweeting their prayer requests back to the students at the church, and they're showing up on the big screens. I spend the rest of my night at the church praying and watching what's happening on the big screen. And so they'll tweet, pray for so-and-so, pray for so-and-so. We're talking about Jesus. We just picked up 6 students, talking to them right now about Jesus. And it happens all night long. And then, throughout the course of the night, a tweet will show up on the big screen. And when it does, all the students in the church, they just stand up and cheer. Because the tweet will say the same thing. It will say, praise God, tonight. It'll give the name of a college student. Tonight, so-and-so moved from death to life. And that happens all day long, all night long, all week long. And on Thursday afternoon of spring break, picture this in your mind. Thousands of college students on the beach of South Padre. And on Thursday afternoon, marching right through them are our 800 student missionaries and all of those other students who've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior during spring break. And they walk out into the Gulf of Mexico for a baptismal ceremony. That is a testimony. And that is what I mean when I say we offer people life. You wouldn't believe how many students get on those vans, hear the story of Jesus, and do not want to get off. because of the experience that they've had in that van and the environment, the new environment into which they've been introduced, an environment that is full of life. And people are attracted to life. So we offer people life. We offer people liberty. John chapter 8, verse 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are offering people life, and we're offering people freedom, liberty. But let me explain what I mean when I say you and I offer people liberty. I'm not talking about political freedom. Now, that's a good thing, something you and I probably take a little bit for granted, but I'm not offering people political freedom. We don't even offer people religious liberty. Now, we're for that. We fight for that. We want our fellow brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted right now, more so than any time in human history, we want them to experience the same kind of freedoms that we experience. We work for, we fight for, we pray for religious liberty, but that's not what we offer people when we offer them Jesus. When we offer people Jesus Christ, we're offering them spiritual freedom. Freedom from all of that that holds you down and keeps you back. All the sin, all the burden, all the guilt. Freedom from all of that, and freedom to go and to do and to be what God created you to go and do and be. We are offering people true, genuine, spiritual freedom. Another thing that we're able to do at our offices is we endorse chaplains. So I was told just this past week that we have endorsed our 1,000th chaplain. So all around the state, all around the country, all around the world, if you serve as a chaplain and you want to get paid, you have to be endorsed by somebody. So we are an official endorsing chaplain body. So that's, you know, hospice chaplain. Some of you may have encountered those in the course of your life. I know our family has. Hospital chaplains, you may have met some of those along the way. Military chaplains all over the world. Many, many of them are Texas Baptist chaplains and prison chaplains. I went to a funeral 3 years ago for a man who worked for us. His name was James Douglas MacArthur Yeager. I called him the general. Now, some of you will know why. Others of you just Google Douglas MacArthur later and that'll come to you. But I called him the general. His real nickname was Yogi. So Yogi worked for us, and he worked for us for 3 years. Yogi shined shoes. Yogi shined my shoes. Yogi would take as long to shine your shoes as it took him to share his testimony. That's just the way it was. So when you sat in his chair, you were just going to be there until he finished sharing his testimony. And he told me many times his testimony, and it was pretty simple. But it went like this. Yogi worked for us for 3 years. When I went to his funeral, he had been ordained as a deacon in his church, and he was a Sunday school teacher in his church. But the 40 years he spent before those 3 years when he moved back to Dallas and began working for us, he had spent in Huntsville Penitentiary for a violent crime he committed when he was a young man. But here's how he would share his testimony. He would say, "It was only after I went to prison that I was set free. Because in prison, a Baptist chaplain introduced him to Jesus. And in prison, Yogi says, I was set free." That's what we offer people. True, genuine, spiritual freedom. Freedom from and freedom to go and do and be. So what makes us different is what we have to offer. We offer people life. We offer people liberty. And then we offer people love. We are here telling people, just as it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." You are loved. You know, it was Josh McDowell who a number of years ago wrote a book, His Image, My Image. Some of you may have read that book. And in that book, he identifies the three greatest needs that anyone has. And the three greatest common needs that we all have. And so they go like this. Number three, every person needs to, has an innate need to feel competent. Everybody needs to feel like they can do something. Secondly, everybody needs to feel like they belong to something, to someone. So everybody needs to feel competent. Everyone needs to feel like they belong. But the greatest human need that is shared among all human beings all around the world is this one. We all need to be loved. So the greatest need that anyone has is the greatest offer that we make. You are loved. About 5 years ago, we kind of looked around and we thought, you know, who's raising up the next generation to do disaster relief and disaster recovery work? So we looked around and we thought, I don't think anybody's really doing that. So we started a new ministry. It's called Bounce. It stands for helping communities bounce back from disaster. It's for high school students. And so every year, spring break and in 5 weeks of the summer, we send high school students from all over Texas to different parts of the state and maybe even other places like Moore, Oklahoma, a couple of years ago after their big tornado. We just send high school students supervised with to do disaster relief and disaster recovery work. So you know where Dickinson, Texas is? Just kind of southeast of Houston. So I went down to Dickinson not long ago to just see these students in action. So these are students from Alney, Texas, Brownfield, Texas, Kyle, Texas, and San Antonio, Texas. And they're working on seven different disaster relief sites after Hurricane Harvey. And I pull up in front of this one little house, and there are 12 high school students, and they're replacing the roof on the house. So if you know anything about Dickinson, Texas in June, you know it's known for two things, heat and humidity. But these 12 high school students are scraping shingles off of that house. By the end of the week, they put new roof on that house. They cleaned up for the lady who owns the house. She's an African-American widow lady. They cleaned up her house. They loved on her all week long. And the greatest testimony, though, of the whole week was not just a testimony to that one lady. It was a testimony to the neighbors who walked by every single day asking one question. Why are you doing this? Why have you given up a week of your summer to come down here and do this? And what is the answer to that? We love God and we love you. That is great commandment work in action. That is telling people, that is showing people you are loved. And anytime you do mission work like that, anytime you do ministry like that, the message you are carrying to people all over Austin and beyond is, we love God and we love God. You. So we're different. And it's good to be different because our message is different. We offer people life and liberty and love, and that is so simple. And yet it is deeply profound because no one else is sharing that message with the people of Austin, Travis County, Texas, or anywhere else other than you and I who are believers in and followers of Jesus. Take that with you. Use it this week. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the blessings of the day. I thank you for Hillcrest Baptist Church. I pray, Father, for this church, for the pastor, for the leadership, for the membership. I pray, Father, this would be a place that becomes known as a place where life and liberty and love are just a part of the DNA of who these people are. God, I pray that each one of us this week would have a chance, an opportunity, just to pass that word along to someone else. Thank you for the day, the Lord's day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.